Walking this talk together.
Every hour.
Every day. This is 702.
Let's walk the talk.
8 minutes past 6 o'clock. Ray in for Bruce on The Money Show. The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield is brought to you by APSA. Some stories are just getting started. Your story matters. APSA is a registered FSP. Well, coming up on your program in the next hour or so, coming up shortly, talking to Telkom CEO about the move to sell SwiftNet. It's a very interesting move. Also talking Transnet tonight in our Money Show Explainer, asking why should South Africans pay for state capture and past mistakes? Transnet's got this new plan, you see, and a lot of people saying, now hold on a second, we're not sure if it works for us. Later on, talking about green dial watches. They're back in fashion. Do you have a green dial watch? You're probably saying to yourself, what is a green dial watch? I'll be explaining that a little bit later on. And of course, it's Friday, time for the Brutal Biz Quiz. Up for grabs, bragging rights. You can phone Bruce on Monday and say that I said you should phone because you won the Brutal Biz Quiz. I'll be asking you a series of questions and let's see if you are the last person standing. Of course, I'd like to hear from you. Our WhatsApp number is 072-702-1702.
Your voice.
Your station. Let's walk the talk.
702.
702.
So let's climb right into it. And a very interesting item of news. Telkom has offloaded its SwiftNet Towers business to a consortium made of the UK-based investment firm Actis and Royal Bafokeng Holdings. This was for 6.75 billion rand. Now, Actis, which owns a 70% stake in the new company, TowerCo, Bitco, and also Royal Bafokeng, they're getting a 30%. They'll acquire SwiftNet. Telkom has verified that SwiftNet rents co-location spaces to mobile network operators and has about 4,000 locations in South Africa. So this development represents a trend in South African telecoms or industrial spend. The Vodacom as well is the only company left with tower ownership. So you can see that there is a trend here. On the line is Serame Takabong, who's the group CEO at the Telkom Group. Serame, hi, good evening. Welcome to The Money Show.
Good evening, Ray, and good evening to listeners.
All right, so why this decision? Why is it in the interests of Telkom? And I was just thinking to myself this afternoon, don't you want to keep your assets because you're using them?
Well, I think let's step back a bit in history. So SwiftNet was set up about 5 years ago as a standalone telco. And I think that's quite important to differentiate between what other mobile operators have done. So we have been operating this as a standalone tower co. And part of that is that, so if you look at the tower entities that we have, 4,000 of them, the primary rentals for those have actually been the other mobile operators because Telkom Mobile is only 10 years old. So the first thing you look at is, one, the ecosystem of towers. There's about over 21,000 towers in the market. And if you look at what our aspirations are, is to really become an InfraCo, but lead in terms of what we want to play. So when we look at the, what are the key components of that InfraCo, the biggest part of that is fiber. And one wants to make sure that you give as much as you can to that asset in which you can lead. We've got 4,000 towers in an ecosystem of over 21,000 towers. So it's important for us to say, can we give as much power as we can to our fiber assets?
Mm. Will you not say...
Please proceed.
Will you not be using the service, though, still? Will you not be paying for the service just to use it?
So if you look at currently, the biggest tenants on those towers is the other mobile operators. So Vodacom and MTN are actually the biggest tenants. Telkom Mobile, actually, if you look at its total tenants, where it actually leases other towers, it's on 8,000 towers overall. So it rents some fraction from our current ecosystem, but a bigger portion of where it leases is outside our ecosystem. So from MTN Towers and other tower operators. So it is not a negative or significant impact on the telecom mobile costs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly does. Will telecom be slimming down in any other way? Because I hear what you are saying. You're being quite clever about it. And also, as well, I suppose, when it comes to expenses and fixing infrastructure, now it's somebody else's problem. But will you be slimming down further?
Well, this is not about slimming down. So what critically does, where it does actually help us slim down, is that the cash generators then helps us to actually correct our balance sheet. So it will help us reduce our debt, increase our free cash flow, so we can invest further in our key components, being then our mobile business and, more importantly, our fiber business, which is quite critical to driving the digitization of South Africa.
Yeah. Talking about your mobile operating business, how is it doing? How has it been running? I'm talking about profitability. There are some big players out there.
Well, I think we've been performing very well because being a late entrant, and Telkom Mobile had the good opportunity of being a data-led mobile operation. So our 2G base, which is your voice base, is extremely low. What we have in Telkom Mobile is a data-led mobile subscriber, which is basically your future-based subscriber. So 80% of our revenue is actually data-led, which is quite key. Supported also by a very strong fiber business, which provides then for the mobile business fiber backhaul, which is critical to make sure that we are very competitive to offer value-based pricing for our customers. So our data pricing in mobile is very, very competitive because we offer then for our subscribers solid value propositions, which has stood in good stead for our mobile business.
Yeah. Right. Let me finish with the million-dollar question. When will prices come down? And you say they are quite competitive, but when will prices come down for data?
Well, I think if you look at where Telkom Mobile's pricing is, it certainly did challenge quite significantly in the market. We continue to offer good value for our customers. And our key proposition is that at each price point, no other mobile operator can offer better value for our customers, and that's key for us.
Yeah, let's hope that continues to happen, because we'd like to see those prices come down and come down. Serame Takabong, Group CEO at the Telkom Group, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us this evening on The Money Show.
Because this journey is better taken together.
Let's walk the talk. 702.
Right, you may have noticed that the Easter weekend is almost here, and many will be looking to buy chocolate bunnies and eggs. That's what Easter is all about, you see. But Massmart has held a consumer study revealing key Easter retail trends, and it's not all about chocolate. The question is, are people spending money on luxuries, or are they just trying to survive? On the line is Catherine Madley, who's the Vice President of Brand Marketing at the Massmart Group. Hi, Catherine. Good evening and welcome.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for having me.
All right. What are Easter shoppers spending their money on this year? What are your sort of trends showing at the moment?
Well, it's been very interesting. We've surveyed thousands of customers on our network in customer knowledge in Massmart. And if you're looking at the macro customer is stocking up. On Easter eggs is their number one thing for the season. And that's just not an obvious answer, Ray, because in years gone by, people have enjoyed going for camping and outdoor and, things like cooler boxes and tents and that kind of thing have been number one items, electronics and the like, and things surrounding the holidays, whereas this year it's shifted significantly into essentials. So people are treating themselves to the lint bunny and the beacon marshmallow eggs in our stores, but they're also shopping us for 2-ply toilet paper, believe it or not, and soft drinks. They're shopping soft drinks, so they are checking the prices of tins of Coke across the market, and then they're also looking out for potato prices, right? Potatoes, avocados, beers, and ciders. They're checking those out. Bananas, and then they're starting to think about hot milk beverages, your Milos and your hot chocolate and whatnot. And then my number 10th item is a spirit in macro liquor, And that, believe it or not, is gin, like Stretton's and Vulgravia. So that's what the top 10 items were on the macro list. I mean, you still have customers interested in your holiday items and your electronics and things. But this has been really interesting, the shift of commodities. And then game is quite different. The game customer is looking at hard commodities, baked beans, Coke, Kellogg's Corn Flakes, Maggie noodles. In that mix, believe it or not, is the Magneto rechargeable LED lantern.
Yeah.
So people still are, trying to organize themselves for load shedding. So they're getting, they're buying the Magnetos from our stores as well. And then, some snacks for the Easter weekend, your knickknacks, your bread, crisps, chocolates, they're also looking for Beacon marshmallow eggs, but more commodity type things to stock up for the weekend. So a very different picture relative to other years, Ray.
It's very interesting, though, because you would think to yourself that people like to splurge. They like to go out for Easter and buy those chocolate bunnies and really spoil themselves. This trend that you're seeing now, is it only recently that you've been seeing it, or is it the past 6 months or even over the past year?
So, I mean, I think if we pull the lens back, Ray, and look at how the petrol prices increased since 2020, that's affecting people in a big way, as is inflation. So Investec data that came out on Wednesday, they spoke about an overall sales decline by 2.1% year on year for Q1 relative to the 3.2% up on Q4 last year. Mm. And all of my data corresponds quite well with that. So if you look at retail as a whole in South Africa, the customer is shifted from the non-food retail, if you want to call it that, so your clothes and textiles and durables, just into food. So people can't afford to spend as much money on clothes and non-food items like they ordinarily do. Look, Easter has come a little bit earlier this year. It feels like people are recovering from the hangover of December a little bit later this year, right? Given the petrol prices and all the costs that have gone up. But what we are seeing is a surge on food in our business, in macro and game. And with our price gap, that's to be expected. People know price in South Africa.
Gosh, that is so very interesting. Catherine Madley, Vice President of Brand Marketing at the Mass Smart Group. Thank you so much for joining us. Interesting, though, people do still spend a bit of money on alcohol. That is, that'll always be there, I suppose. But yeah, Easter eggs and luxuries, at the moment, people just don't have the money. I suppose that is just a sign of the times. Right, 21 minutes past 6 o'clock. Transnet CEO Michelle Phillips has acknowledged the initial negative reaction to a proposed new tariff system published for comment. This is alongside the country's inaugural draft network statement. It's been argued that the new tariffs will build up the network. Now, Transnet's network and operations have been damaged due to maladministration, criminality. You know also what happened with state capture. So in our Money Show Explainer tonight, talking about why South Africans cannot keep paying for Transnet's mismanagement or state capture. Thinking about this as well, and many economists have said over the past, the past year or two, when it comes down to South Africa's poor growth, perhaps we actually could have added on 2 percentage points if we got Eskom right and if we got Transnet right. And that has been the big problem, because when it comes to Transnet, we haven't been able to get our goods to Richards Bay. The rail network has been severely damaged. It's been a major, major, major problem. So joining us to discuss this tonight in our Money Show Explainer is Professor Jan Havenga. He's a logistics professor at Stellenbosch University and also director of the Gain Group. Professor, hi, good evening. Welcome to the Money Show.
Good evening, and thank you for the invite.
All right. Now, talking about in our Money Show Explainer tonight, talking about Transnet, should South Africans say enough is enough? We're not going to do this anymore.
Without any doubt. I think, and this is worse even so, this is different from trying to, for instance, prop up the SAA, which nobody needs. We didn't need an airline, and we don't need this, and we don't need that. Transnet is the lifeblood of our economy. So what we're doing here is by charging too much for access, we are just killing a lot of things. We're going to make it very difficult for us to get our low-cost minerals, that's bulk minerals, to the sea competitively. We're going to struggle with industrialization in South Africa. And basically, the tariff like that will kill our road-to-rail strategy. It will do the exact opposite from what government has promised us all the way back. You can go back to the RDP in 1993. The current government promised us a rail strategy. This is not the way to do it. It is far too high. It is more or less double than what it should be.
Yeah. Should Transnet debt not then be restructured and moved off their balance sheets and dealt with elsewhere?
Well, this is exactly the problem. If you were to ask yourself, why is it so high? And I want to give a step back because it's important. You referred to Michelle Phillips and her own reaction to this point. I just want to commend her for a few things. Number one is the fact that she's quite open and honest about this. Number two, that she's done this correctly. The previous management of Transnet had this haphazard sort of attempt to a slot sales system 2 years ago. We all heard about it. This was done correctly. Michelle, according to international best practice, has published a network statement. The interim rail regulator from the Department of Transport has published it in the Government Gazette. It's open for consultation. And I think this consultation, to some extent, government is maybe going to say to themselves, maybe we should not get this. Maybe we're going to get what we wish for. And maybe now everything is going to come out in the open because it is too high. And it is too high for various reasons. And you've mentioned some of them. They published in the network statement, they published the formula used to calculate it. But hidden into that formula is all of those things. It is things like state capture debt. I ask any business in South Africa that's got a turnover of about 80 billion, that's more or less Transnet's turnover at its best, to create a 70 billion rand hole in this balance sheet of money that is just stolen, they got nothing for it. No business can survive like that. It is more or less impossible. And it's impossible for government to come now to Michelle and her team and say, well, we've created this hole in your balance sheet. You have just been appointed. Your previous management has run this company into the ground, and they did. They created the toxic culture. People forgot how to run the railway. We did not prioritize maintenance. The network is in a very poor condition. But you know what? You need to go out and sell that, and you have to sell that for something very cheaply, which is impossible.
Yeah.
So what Michelle has done, the tariff that she's charging is the actual correct tariff for the position in which she's in. But to fix that, it is exactly what you say. Government should take over state capture debt. That is step one. Step two, government should say to itself, how can we assist Transnet to restructure the balance sheet and get cheaper debt? And I can tell you now, all of that is very easy. It's actually not that difficult. There's a question of the Treasury and Transnet and a few other players sitting around the table in the presidency, figuring out how to do it. There is enough development bank funding available to sort out the rest, restructure the balance sheet, bring down the cost of interest, and actually make this work. I just want to say one other thing, which is also important. If you were to try and visualize what this charge is, it's very simple. I can apply that charge for you to the road. It was just a simple calculation. It talks about tons. A truck weighs 57 tons. It talks about distance. Distance Johannesburg to Cape Town, 1,400 kilometers. And it's 20 cents per gross ton kilometer. A truck would pay 17,000 rand to access the N1 if it paid the same amount of money. I can tell you that the current price for a taxi truck is about 7,000. It's 10,000 rand less. In order for road to pay the same as rail, and I don't say it should be the same, but to give you an idea, you will have to push up the fuel price with 10 rand to add to the fuel levy, or alternatively, we'll have to multiply the toll fees with 10.
Gosh.
So I'm just saying to myself, there's lots of reasons why you say it doesn't have to be exactly the same. But at the same time, all other governments in the world in some way provide subsidies to rail. If Sunrail gets a subsidy of 60 billion rand per annum, government would say to itself, you know what, we'll take, rather than making it impossible for Transnet to ask a fair tariff, which they're doing now by the state capture debt, by poor maintenance, rather than doing that, Let's rather take over some of that state capture debt. Let's provide a small subsidy in line with the subsidy that Sunderland receives, and let's make this work, and let's make this road to rail strategy real. It's not going to help to try and take this money out of the supply chain out of the industry in South Africa. It's just going to kill us.
I'm really hoping that the government is listening to our conversation this evening. Professor Jan Havenkou, who's a logistics professor at Stellenbosch University, thanks so much for coming on. Thanks so much for your insight as well on The Money Show.
The Money Show.
The Markets.
Right, let's see what happened on our pesky markets today. In fact, they weren't pesky markets. They were great markets. Zwelakhe Mnguni, CIO at Benguela Global Fund Managers. Zwelakhe, hi, good evening. Your share on an up at the close.
Yeah, good evening, Ray. I think we had a good day. The resources actually picked us up quite strongly towards the end. We saw particularly the platinums and the gold coming through very strongly. And on the downside, we also saw the likes of Pick and Pay. I think we continue to see weakness in that stock. Exxaro, Netcare, those stocks, Exxaro, having declared a fantastic dividend, it looks like they're under a bit of pressure. And then Netcare and Kumba are the other ones that are notable. I think that there's been relative weakness in those for some time.
Yeah, but the Rand taking a bit of pressure, and it's all sorts of US data, I suppose, coming out, but also interest rates. Nobody expected the Swiss to cut the interest rate. That was a total surprise.
Yeah, I don't think it was expected. I mean, the Swiss also have been on the low side of the interest rates in the developed market. And the surprise, I mean, it does maybe highlight that there is some weakness. And I think we need to not forget the lingering issues that came from the Deutsche Bank, the Swiss Bank that they had a while ago. So that would have throttled some lending to the economy. That would have slowed down the economy to some extent. So perhaps that was one of the issues that was considered to try and stimulate the economy by making rates lower.
Yeah, but as you said, the miners today doing particularly well, which is lovely because it propped up the JSC, and it also shows that they're benefiting from stronger ore prices, stronger gold and platinum.
Certainly, I think even though today there was the PGMs and gold were marginally lower, I think the rand is often a big booster to them. So it gave them quite a nice boost in terms of that weakness. So we saw quite a positive performance on the miners today.
Zwelakhe Mnguni, thank you so much for chatting to us. Now, Zwelakhe is the CIO at Benguela Global Fund Managers. Good market news today. A strong finish for the JSC. Let's see what happens on Monday. Anything can change. It's just gone 6:31.
The Money Show.
The Friday File.
The Friday File.
The Friday File, talking now about green dial watches. When I first saw the topic, I thought, what's a green dial watch? But it's such an interesting, I think, concept. It's such an interesting way to represent your watches. It's a trend that we have noticed creeping back into the world of watches internationally. So what we thought we'd do is get the experts on. Speaking to Debbie Hathaway, who's a watches and jewelry writer. Hi, Debbie. Good evening. Welcome back to The Money Show.
Hi, Ray. Thank you for having me.
Right. What are green dial watches? I did try to explain them, but I think you'll give us a better explanation.
Well, it's simply a watch with a green colored dial, and they've been coming back into vogue over the last couple of years. It's not a sudden thing. The headlines are a bit deceiving, depending on the mood of the journalist on the day. Black and white watch dials are generally the first most popular in the list. If somebody's buying themselves a watch, they tend to go for the more conservative classic option. And blue was next in line after that. Blue watches were popular for years, and green started coming back about 7 years ago. And I noticed every second year there's another big push. Just about every brand out there has got a watch with a green dial now.
Debbie, who decides on this? I mean, who decides on let's go green? I mean, how does this work?
Well, it starts with the creative director, but there's a huge team behind him. So they've got a lot of input from the creative and the technical teams every time they're thinking of extending a line or adding in a new color. And a lot of that is influenced by nature. You know, that theme, anything related to nature, has been very popular ever since the pandemic. And the petrol heads among the listeners will immediately think about the green color linking to motor racing, especially if the watch is a chronograph. And Rolex is one of the brands that has a watch dial in the British Racing Green. That's the Oyster Perpetual collection. And Breitling has the Premier B01 chronograph. But it's because it's the Australian Formula One this weekend, I thought I'd highlight three watches with green dials by team sponsors.
Okay.
And the one is a bit of a mouthful. It's the IWC Pilot's Watch Chronograph 41 edition, Mercedes AMG Petronas Formula One team.
Oh, my
it's
word.
It's Mercedes' first official team watch.
Well, I like that.
And then Aston Martin has got one as well. Gérard Perbeau is the official timepiece sponsor of Aston Martin. And they released the Laureato Absolute Chronograph Aston Martin F1 edition 2 years ago. But one of the most eye-catching releases of the year so far is the Tag Heuer Carrera chronograph with its teal-green monochrome aesthetic. And Tag has been the official timekeeper and partner of the Oracle Red Bull Racing F1 team since 2016.
Okay.
So you'll see, if you're a movie buff, brand ambassador Ryan Gosling wears a Tag Heuer Carrera in his upcoming film, The Fall Guy, which is being released in May. Yeah. But this model has a black dial, but look out for it anyway.
Okay. All right. So this is the big question. Are some of these investment watches? Because sometimes people buy them thinking, I'm going to spend all this money because I know in a couple of years' time it's going to be worth way more.
It's become a talking point lately, again, linking back to the pandemic, because people had so much time on their hands and money. They were saving money in some instances. So they had money to spend, and people were looking for vintage watches. There was a big spike in vintage watches at the time. People were buying and trading online. It settled down a little bit now, but a collector, if you talk to a collector about investment watches, he'll poo-poo the idea, because at the end of the day, a true watch collector is going to buy a watch that they love, no matter how much it costs. It could be 5,000 Rand, it could be 50,000 Rand, it could be 500,000 and more.
Mm.
So it's really up to you. You know, if you want to trade and you want to make money, well, fine. But it's like a motor car. The minute you drive it off the lot, you lose value. There will be those, like the top four, Rolex, Patek Philippe, Audemars Piguet, and Richard Mille, that are in that category, and people will buy them for investment purposes, but often they find if they sell those watches, they regret it later.
Sure, that is so interesting. All right, educate us. Which are the big shows that you go and you see, and these are the big watches shows? We know about the fashion shows and all the rest, but what are the big watch shows?
Thanks for asking, Ray. LVMH Watch Week starts the year always in January, and this year that was held in Miami. Bulgari, Hublot, and Zenith released new watches then. And in fact, Bulgari released a gorgeous jewelry watch called the Lucia with upcycled malachite fragments on the dial. It's absolutely stunning. And Hublot released its Big Bang Unico Green Saxum. And Saxum is a particular material that they've invented. It's an emerald green, but it's almost translucent. And it's got a transparent green rubber strap. So interestingly, these brands choose to be excluded from Watches and Wonders Geneva, which is coming up. We're counting down. That's in April. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest watch fair of the year. And we look forward to it like you can't believe. We're preparing like mad people, getting our interviews ready. There's been a migration of brands that used to exhibit at Baselworld, which used to be the other big watch fair held in Basel every year. That closed just before the pandemic hit, or around that time. And Rolex, Tag Heuer, Chopard, Patek Philippe, those brands have all migrated over to Watches and Wonders, which used to be a largely RLG Africa stronghold.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as Richemont, for people who are unfamiliar with the company name. Yes. We refer to it as RLG Africa in South Africa.
Okay. Here's a question for you. Which is your favorite? Which is the one that if you had all the cash in the world, you'd want to go and buy? Would it be maybe a green one, a green dial watch or something else?
Oh, you know, I'm a sucker for a story, and as you might remember, I'm a dancer. So if I ever had the opportunity to buy a Van Cleef & Arpels with a moving fairy on the dial or a dancer flitting around the dial, I would buy that. But I'm also absolutely love the Chopard Happy Diamonds theme. Julia Roberts is the brand ambassador behind that, and that's just got a gorgeous story. The creative director, Caroline Schperle, was inspired by the glints of water falling in a waterfall, and she came up with this happy diamond concept, which is inspired by her mother as well. She said diamonds are only happy when they're free. So these beautiful five diamonds, specially set in a little gold cup that moves around the dial without scratching it. I'm getting chilled just talking about it.
that's amazing. It sounds absolutely amazing. What would that retail for?
Lots of money. I don't have the figures in front of me, but it's stunning. I should mention two collective pieces for those out there who are wanting to expand on their collection, still on the green watch theme.
Yeah.
There's an independent brand that people can buy here in South Africa or online, obviously. It's called H. Moser & Key. And that is climbing up the Swiss watch rankings to number 38 in the latest Morgan Stanley Swiss watch report, which is quite something. There are three watch brands in the top 50 that are independent, that are on that list for the first time. And Moser has got a streamliner collection that's got a few options of green dials in that, which is stunning. They're very rare and collectors love them. And the other one is Montblanc. In 2022, Montblanc launched its first sports diving watch, the Montblanc 1858 IC automatic date.
Yeah.
And the interesting story behind that is that people love the watch so much, the collectors have given it its own name. They call it the Iced Tea. So when a watch has a nickname by collectors, then they know it's arrived. So that's another one to look out for. And I think at Watches and Wonders in April, people are going to see extensions to the line, and it's going to be exciting to see what colors they come up with next, because the collectors are buying every color that they release. They just order one of everything. It's unbelievable.
Gosh, that's quite something. Debbie Hathaway, thank you so much for educating us about watches. Debbie's a watches and jewelry writer. I can't wait for 2 months' time. We'll go do some watch shopping. I might just have to take out another bond in my house, but it does sound like fun.
Because this journey is better taken together.
Let's walk the talk. 702.
Right, from watches to the brutal biz quiz. Come on, you know how it works. Okay, you did. I'll ask you a series of questions. If you are the last person standing, then you are the whiz of the brutal biz quiz. You'll be the whiz. That means on Monday, you can phone Bruce, just phone our producers. They'll go, oh, it's you, no problem. And you'll be able to speak to Bruce, and you've got bragging rights. You'll be the whiz of the brutal biz quiz. So here we go. Question number one on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. Give us a call. Maybe you know the answer to. The late Marcus Yuster was the CEO of which retail company? Come on, that's not so brutal. That's an easy one. But let's see if you do know the answer. 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. The late Marcus Yuster was the CEO of which retail company?
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield is brought to you by APSA. Your story should be heard. Your story matters. APSA is a registered FSP.
Right, 6 minutes to 7 o'clock. Let's see if you are going to be the whiz of the Brutal Biz Quiz. I'll ask you a series of questions. And if you're the last person standing, yep, that's it. You have mastered it. You're the champion. You are the whiz. My question number one is, the late Marcus Yuster was the CEO of which retail company? Nadia in Westin, which retail company?
Steinhaus.
Absolutely, quite right. Correct you are, Marcus Yuster. He was the disgraced former chief executive of Steinhoff. He took his own life. That was yesterday's big story. A big investigation still underway. I see his co-accused appeared in court today. There we go, Nadia. One right so far. My money's on you. Second question. The consumer price index measures what? What is the CPI? What does it measure?
I don't think I know the answer.
No, it's an easy one, Nadia. Okay, all right. Let's go to Julian in Centurion. Hi, Julian. If I said to you, the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, what does it measure?
Inflation.
It does indeed. It does indeed. Nice one. Unfortunately, our inflation rate is sitting now at 5.6%. And Julian, I must admit, if it goes much higher, I don't think that our Reserve Bank governor is going to turn around and give us a nice rate cut. All right, here's something. I hope you've been listening to The Money Show tonight. SwiftNet, a towers and masts business, was sold by which telecoms company to Actis and Royal Buffer King? We had it tonight. SwiftNet. Which company?
I haven't got a clue.
Okay, Julian. Oh, I think I've got everyone. I think I've stumped everyone. 011-883-0702. So basically what's happened with this company, they've gone off and they've sold off the SwiftNet business. Reason being, they've decided, and I'll give you a little bit of a clue because I think I've stumped you tonight. 011-883-0702. I think I've stumped you. MTN, they've said they don't need their masts anymore. Vodacom's the only one that's left. But there's that other national company who, and they got into the game a little bit late, and then they thought to themselves, whoa, we better sell ours off as well. And they want to put money into data, which is a very good thing because that means they can bring the cost of data down. Mandla in Rosebank. Mandla, put me out of my misery. If I'm talking about they've just sold off SwiftNet, which company am I talking about?
Telkom.
Indeed, you are correct. Well done, Mandla. Absolutely. Selling it for about 6.5 billion rand. Nice one, Mandla. Right, my money's on you now because, well, Nadia, I'm sorry. It didn't work out. Here's another one. I'm going to say, in fact, you know what? If you get this right, I'm actually going to give it to you. Question. Name the National Assembly Speaker whose house was raided on Monday. She was supposed to appear in court today. She landed up at the Pretoria Central Police Station. Who is the Speaker of the National Assembly? Come on, Mandla. I know you can do this.
Nosiviwe Mapisa Ngakula.
Absolutely. Mandla, do you know that you are the whiz of the Brutal Biz Quiz? So all you have to do on your Rosebank, so that means you're in Johannesburg, on Monday you can give Bruce a call, 011-883-0702, and tell him you are the whiz of the Brutal Biz Quiz. What are you doing this weekend, Mandla?
Just at home, nothing serious.
Nice. Well, you are the whiz, so just put your feet up and make sure your significant other brings you a drink or something and spoils you. That's right. Our speaker, Nosiviwe Mapisa Nkakula, is in a spot of bother. It's been alleged that she benefited from a few contracts while she was Minister of Defence, and it's been taken quite seriously. The Hawks then raided her home looking for evidence, and they're being caused now by the Democratic Alliance for her to step down. So Monday in Rosebank, you are the whiz of the Brutal Biz Quiz.